do have to do some jiggery pokery with microphones and stuff, so excuse us a minute. There we go.
Thank you. I was lucky enough to be born into a Christian family, with my mum being a Catholic and my dad being Church of England. And so I was brought up as a Catholic. I went to church with my mum and my sister every week. And we went to St. Joseph's Church. I went to St. Joseph's RC School and Sacred Heart School in Redcar, where I was taught religious studies. I broke away from that religion because I never felt welcome there. In my teens, I had a rebellious side and started smoking and drinking. And I was arrested for shoplifting when I was about 16. I felt I was at an all-time low. After this period in my life, I felt I needed God back in my life. So I started looking for other religions to get involved with. And I happened to meet two young men at a friend's house. They were two missionaries from the Mormon religion. I was made to feel welcome there and became a priest and a missionary. After a year there, I left the church and started drinking again. I was at an all-time low, and after a few years of this, I felt I needed God back in my life. And I turned to Jehovah's Witnesses, but I felt I needed something else. So one Sunday, I went to Grace Community Church, and I was made to feel welcome there, but never went back for about 4 years. Now I've been there for 2.5 years and never looked back. And I feel part of the community. During this time, I learned about my sin, how my sin hurts God, and my need for a saviour. And now I have put my trust in Jesus. I have decided to follow him for the rest of my life. And I have changed my life around since by reading the Bible every day. And by doing this, I learn more about Jesus and what he can do for me, and I can find the answers to all my questions.
Bless you. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Stuart. Becky.
The song that I have chosen for this morning is called Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. It reminds me of the verse from Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It speaks of how Jesus is all that I need. I haven't earned God's favour. No one can live up to God's holy standards, but Jesus did. Through faith in him and through his death, I know I am forgiven and find true joy, righteousness and freedom. Each day I find strength in him to follow, knowing that whatever comes my way, he is always with me. By his grace I am being changed, and even through my own struggles, doubts and failures, he is faithful and will complete the work he has begun. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
So, Becky's told you there a song that she's chosen for this morning is Yet Not I, But Christ in Me. And we're going to listen to that now. And it might be a song that we could all sing as we worship him.
He is my joy, my rock.
So, Tom, it's your turn. Leave all the gadgets for a moment. Thank you.
As most of you know, I was brought up in a Christian home, and so growing up was taught from the Bible and taken along to church. I'm really thankful to God for this blessing, and I'm also grateful for the teaching, encouragement and love that I've received from my wider family and the churches at Berwick Hills, Mask and here in Loftus. So I've always known a lot about God and done all the usual Christian things, but I knew that this on its own wasn't enough. Over the years, as I grew in my knowledge, God opened my eyes to understand my own need before him and what he has done for me in Jesus, that I'm a sinner deserving punishment, but that I can receive forgiveness and eternal life through just trusting Jesus' death in my place. I don't really know at what point I first understood this and repented and put my trust in Jesus. There wasn't a specific day that I can pick out. It's been more of a gradual process. Over the past few years, I feel that I've been a bit too comfortable just drifting along with life. But during the last year, God has really woken me up. I kept putting off baptism, but at the end of last year, I came to the point where I knew I needed to be obedient and be baptized. Since then, this year has not been easy. And I've struggled at times with everything that's been going on, but I'm thankful for God's help and guidance. Through these strange last few months, he has taught me to rely on him more closely and given me peace that no matter what happens, he will hold me fast.
It's lovely to hear, isn't it? Testimony of God's working in people's lives. Let's just pray for them again. Father God, we do thank you for Stuart and for Becky and for Tom. We thank you for all that they mean to us, obviously just a family and as a church family. And Lord, thank you for all that they mean to you, that you gave your son for them. And Lord, this morning, we're not coming to give them glory, but we're coming to give you glory and to thank you for your great work in their lives. And thank you, Lord, for all that you have planned for them in the future. We pray that they might know your blessing today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn in God's word to Matthew chapter 7. We've been looking at various parables over these last weeks, and there's just a few left that I'd like to cover. And I thought one of them fitted today. And it's Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Jesus is speaking, doesn't call it a parable. I guess technically speaking, we could debate whether it's a parable, but it certainly fits the mould that we've been describing. Our sort of working definition, that it was a made-up story. The ones we've been looking at are Jesus' parables, so it's a story made up by Jesus, but for the purpose of producing a spiritual response. He wants us to respond to him. And that's certainly what this is in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I'm going to start sort of at the end of the parable and just talk about the problem. To start with, the problem for these houses, for these builders, was that rain was coming, was that floods were coming, that winds were going to blow and beat against that house. You know, on Friday I went down to the beach. I take the dog for the walk during the weekdays. I take the dog for a walk in the morning, and on Friday I worked out the tides were right, so I went down to the beach to walk the dog, Millie, Mad Millie. And You know, it doesn't seem long ago since I was going down to the beach or into the woods with shorts on and a t-shirt and enjoying the warm weather, the sun, even just, certainly within the last 10 days, feeling quite warm with the sun on your back in the morning and coming back with a bit of a sweat on. Even at 7:30 in the morning, it was relatively warm. But Friday was quite different. Friday, I went down in the car. I got out of the car at Skinning Grove, and I struggled to walk up the pathway up past the jetty. You know the bit that I mean. And when you get to the jetty itself, there's like a gap in the wall, and the wind funnels through it, and it nearly knocked me off my feet. Obviously, it would be quite a big wind to knock me off my feet, but it was very, very strong. And in fact, the whole time I walked down the beach, I was watching the waves crashing. I was seeing the wind like whipping up the sand. I was looking forward to the point where I was going to turn around, because when I turned around, I knew that the wind would be behind me. It felt like winter. You could hardly walk against the wind. The sea was wild. And I think later that day, Caroline was saying that they were walking in the woods in the afternoon, and there were several trees that had come down in the wood. It really was quite a fierce day for the wind. And in the parable, the houses being built represent our lives. And so we might say then, so what is this issue? What do these storms represent? These storms that are going to come lashing upon us. These storms and floods and wind that's going to beat against our lives. What's he talking about? And there's three ways I'd like to describe it briefly. Firstly, it's reflecting trials. It's interesting that it's come up several times in the testimonies, speaking about trials. So it might be a sickness. It might be the death of a loved one. It might be unemployment or redundancy. It might be a relationship problem. It might be money worries. It might be injustice being done to you, or you're seeing it being done to others and it upsets you. You could just say, well, 2020 has just been like one big trial. These trials are like storms that batter our souls. And many people, particularly in this year, when you read what people write on Facebook and such like, you can tell and you can feel that people are feeling battered. They're feeling a bit broken. They're feeling bruised. They're feeling lost. And you could say, well, it's a bit like the house that's being built on sand. And when the wind comes and the trials come, they're feeling broken. And in fact, even collapsing. They're fearful. They're hopeless. They're depressed. Another way of looking at the same thing would be that they're like tests. That these things that come against us are like a test. And it's testing the things that we're relying on. Clearly, the parable is talking about foundations. What's our lives built upon? And our foundations, the things that we believe, the things that we hold to, the things that we trust in, are being tested by these trials that come. So, for example, it might be that our joy, our roots, our foundations are in our family. But sometimes the family doesn't bring the support and encouragement that we would like. We feel let down, or there's trouble in the family. It might be that our joy is in our work, that we love our work and we put our whole heart into our work, and really that's what keeps us and gives us stability in life. But then redundancy comes, or someone at work gets us down, or the job changes in some way and it feels like it's pulling us down. It's like a test. Is the thing that we're really depending on strong enough to hold us? And it feels not. Or our joy is in what we own or our possessions. But we find that although there's pleasure in getting more things, we find that actually the satisfaction decreases. And we find ourselves feeling empty. And you'll know that there are plenty of rich people that say they're very, very sad. Or our joy is drugs or alcohol. And it's very promising as a thing to lean upon. But it becomes something that actually just takes away from us. It becomes something that leaves us empty and broken. when it really comes push to shove, it's not something to lean upon. It doesn't hold our weight when we lean upon it. Or perhaps our joy is in our health and our fitness. You know, and it feels wonderful while we're fit and while we're healthy. Dare I say, while we're young. But then slowly, things begin to creak. Or illness comes. And the thing that we'd sort of centered our life around, our fitness, our health, becomes something that doesn't take the weight. We can't lean upon it. And so the storms of life are like a test that reveal the foundations for what they are. We find that our foundations are tested and found wanting. But there's a third level. So that's like a trial. It's like a test. But it's also like a judgment. The final and ultimate way to see these storms that are battering our lives is as a judgment. It's the ultimate test. I guess if you're picturing it as a storm, it would be like a tsunami. Do you remember seeing some of those images in places like Thailand and Indonesia, where these tidal waves had come in and over the beach, and you just watched it. It was just like relentless. The water just rose and rose and rose, and it got fiercer and fiercer. And one by one, the buildings collapsed. And there was just the odd building that was strong enough to stand. Perhaps that's the sort of image that we should have in this sense of a judgment coming upon us. The Bible says, of course, one day we will face judgment before God. And we know from the Bible that He's kind and gracious and merciful. But we also know that He is holy and pure and righteous. The Bible describes Him as a consuming fire. That He says He's jealous for our hearts and jealous for our worship. And one day, our lives will be put to the ultimate test. Our secret thoughts, our hidden deeds, our browsing history, our rebellious sin, our idolatry, all of it will face the hurricane of God's terrifying wrath. Have we really loved God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength and loved our neighbour as ourselves? The two commands that Jesus lifts up as the greatest commands. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. You know, the truth is, of course, all of us, we don't even live up to our own standards, let alone God's standards. So how can any human stand? We're at the moment, we're all in the same boat. We're picturing our lives as the house that's on sand and is going to face destruction when these things come, these trials and tests and judgments. This building our life on the sand doesn't prove to be a stable place to be. It doesn't give us peace and joy when trials come. It doesn't help us to conquer our inner fears. It doesn't give us hope for eternity. It doesn't satisfy our deep sense of lostness. So how can we build our lives for strength in times of trial? How can we build our lives for stability and peace in times of trouble? How can we learn to stand firm under testing? How can we know that we're going to stand firm when the judgment of the tsunami of God's wrath comes upon us one final day when He sees and knows everything about us and all the accounts are laid bare before Him, where there's nowhere to hide? How can we build a life that's going to stand in such times? Jesus gives us a two-stage solution in this little parable. How do we build on the rock, you might say? How do we build this house that's going to stand firm? Well, the first thing to remember, just in passing, is that building on a rock is harder than building in the sand. It's going to require more work. And I think there's something in that. It's hard. We're not saying that following Jesus is going to be easy. But if you want to build a life that's going to stand firm in the trials and tests and the judgments of life, then we need to build upon this rock. So the first step is that we must hear the message. Verse 24. In fact, the whole thing I'm going to be saying is just in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine. That's the first stage. We must be people who hear these words. In other words, Jesus' words, Jesus' teaching. So the solution is not, this is what the world says, follow your heart. Jesus says that is not the solution. Don't follow your heart. The solution is not to be true to yourself, whatever on earth that means. The solution is not to try your hardest to be a good person. The solution is not to follow rules religiously. These are not the gospel. They never have been. The solution comes to start with by hearing the words of Jesus, by hearing the message. It's a message that needs to be declared and a message that needs to be heard. Well, what's the message that we must hear? Well, we'll read the New Testament for yourself. Read the Gospels for yourself. Find out what Jesus said. But we could start right here. This is the end of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's the very last section of the Sermon on the Mount. And so you could go back and read the Sermon on the Mount. It starts in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. And it begins with the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes start like this. You could say this was the foundation of what Jesus says. This is the fundamental things of his message. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, that sounds bizarre. But to be poor in spirit are those that are going to receive this kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. What Jesus is saying in this opening section is the very foundation of following Jesus and building upon the rock is to hear this message which says we need to admit our sin. We need to admit that we're poor in spirit. We need to mourn our sin. We need to be meek. We need to be those who hunger and thirst to be righteous. We're longing to do what God would want of us. And so it's the very core of what we're listening to in this parable of saying we've got to stand and build on the rock. It's to start by admitting our sin. And then we're going to learn all sorts of stuff about Jesus and what he's done. We're going to find that he's the one who died on the cross for us. We're going to find that he's the one that offers us eternal life when we put our faith and trust in him. This is the message that we need to hear. But that's not all. That's just the first stage. Because the second stage, and it's the thing that's emphasized in this little section, is that we must be people who respond to this message. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So if you want to build your life on solid ground that's going to help you and stand firm through trials and tests and through judgment, even the eternal judgment when we face God and he sees all things, we need to do these two things. We need to hear the message of Jesus and we need to do the things that he tells us. You know, the streets, I mean, it's a bit wild sometimes out on the roads, those of you that drive, isn't it? It can be a bit wild, certainly when you go into the cities and stuff, and it can be pretty crazy. But imagine how crazy it would be if all you needed to do to get in a car and drive was to pass a theory test. If all you needed to do was sit in a classroom and tick the right boxes and pass the test, and then you could go and drive. It would be crazy. Because people wouldn't be used to actually driving. They'd just know it in their heads. And this is the emphasis of this little parable. You notice that this is what makes the other house fall. Verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So the key difference is that they both heard Jesus. They both knew the message. But the question was, were they doing it? Because that's how you build on the solid rock. So, in other words, the question to us is, Are you turning from your sin, as Jesus would ask us to? Are you putting your faith in Jesus, as he would want you to? Are you following him as Lord? Now, following him as Lord means that he is number one. That following Jesus and trusting in him becomes the most important thing in your life. He's telling us that this is what we need to do if we want to build a solid life which will stand in trials and tests and judgment. We need to do it. So Stuart and Becky and Tom are telling us this morning that they've heard the words of Jesus. They know what he has asked of them. They have obeyed in repentance and faith and trust. And they're adding to their obedience today by doing what Jesus commanded, which was to be baptized. There's much more for us to learn. There's much more for us to grow in. There's none of us here that can say that we've made it. However long we've been Christians, however mature we might see ourselves as Christians, there's always stuff to grow in. But there's the fundamentals. Are you turning from your sin? Are you trusting in Jesus? Do you follow him as Lord? And I'm not asking you whether you would say yes. I'm asking you whether if I watched what you did for the next week, would it look like you're saying yes to those things? Are you putting it into practice? Do you remember in James, there's a little section at the beginning where it speaks about putting things into practice, just not being hearers of the word. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, and goes away, and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Another verse here I want to read in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 to 6. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. That's the call upon our lives, is to live it out. Not to be people that just know it, have heard the words, but people that do it in our lives. It's a call to all of us. It's a call to you children. Especially those of you that are blessed with being in a Christian home. It's not just knowing it in your head, or hearing the words of Jesus, but actually obeying them. And one of those things that Jesus commands us to do is to be baptized. And so it's with pleasure and joy that we come to this baptism this morning. You know, there'll be a day of reckoning, won't there? We're quite good, perhaps, at putting on a show, putting on a front that people see, but there'll be a day of reckoning where we'll find out, are we really a house that's been built that's going to stand in days of testing and trial and judgment? The promise of Jesus, and it's an outrageous promise if you think about it. He says, think about what he's saying about himself. He says, if you will listen to my words and do them, you will stand on the last day. You will stand through trials. You will stand through tests. You will stand at the judgment on the last day. What a wonderful offer. What a thing it says about Jesus, about who he is, that he's worthy of us following him, that he truly is the Son of God in whom we must trust. He's calling us today. And as we think and reflect, if there are those of you that feel that you want to make a step forward today, then please don't put it off. You know, if you want to speak to me about what it means to be a Christian. If you want to, I don't know if people listening on the internet, if you want to get in touch, then find a way of getting in touch and speak to me about what it means to become a Christian. Or perhaps today you need to say, yeah, actually I want to be baptized. I can see that that is part of what it is to obey these commands. Well, yeah, I want to be baptized. Don't put it off. Ask me about it. We're already planning another baptismal service before Christmas. So please speak to me. I'd love to speak to you more. As we close our time together in here, we're going to listen to a song. This is a hymn that Tom has chosen, and it speaks of our hope in Christ again. It's Before the Throne of God Above. Close our service in here in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this great promise, the great words of the Lord Jesus, that we should hear his words and follow him. And then we will be like a house that's built strong and firm on a foundation of rock that will not fall in days of trial and trouble and days of judgment. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us a way through Jesus to be saved. We pray that we might know this for ourselves. We pray that you'd grant us real hope and joy in trusting in him. Thank you for those words we've been singing about what it is to be united with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. That we are in him and he is in us. And that no trouble, no testing, no judgment that comes can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We pray that our hope would be in him. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So what's going to happen now? If we're going to move through to the hall, please try and keep reasonably separate as we go through. In the hall, could you go in through the double doors? So go right up and go in through the double doors. I'm afraid it's more hand gel and stuff. and then take a seat on one of the plastic chairs. You'll see in there that there are, you just use one of the plastic chairs and you'll see what's happening once you go in. We'll reconvene shortly. We will be a short delay because we need to do a little bit of jiggery pokery with the camera. Thank you.